Night, please. Matthew 21. What is the nickname for the midweek service of most churches? Prayer meeting. We say prayer meeting and Bible study. I do know some churches, it's maybe just another evangelistic meeting or something like that. That's fine. But prayer meeting, that's sort of become, you know, the hallmark of your Bible preaching churches over the years, that they have a midweek time somewhere where they meet together for prayer. And every once in a while, as we come on Wednesday night, I'd like to just, we've done some different series and did one on the cults here about a month or a month and a half of that and some other things. I want to touch on prayer tonight. And I think it's good for us just to be reminded on a regular basis about prayer. Matthew chapter 21, please. Look at verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this thing which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Heavenly Father, tonight we believe you to pray and ask that you be with us in this church service. Stir up our prayer life. And Lord, help us as we would go away, even to our prayer time tonight, that our prayers would be more just trusting and pointed than they've been maybe for a little while. Help me as I speak tonight in Christ's name. Amen. First thing we would see in this verse is just simply, if ye have faith. And that's the key. And if is a condition, if ye have faith. And then it says another thing, doubt not. That's a simple trusting faith, not a wavering faith. James talks about that with a man that asks faith wavering, he shall not receive. And so we have a simple, trusting, absolute, unwavering faith. It isn't you work it up, you just say, Lord, here it is. Another place, this kind of faith is called childlike faith. You just believe like a child when he asks his mom or dad for a glass of water that they're going to give it to him. I don't think it occurs to a child that dad wouldn't give him something that he has the ability to give and that he would want to take care of his son or daughter. When we pray to God, we need to have faith like that, a faith believing. And it goes on, it says, if you have faith like this, you can do what Jesus did to the fig tree. Walk past it, he cursed it, it will not give any more fruit, and it dried up from the roots upward. Have you ever had a plant die? Usually they die from the top downward. This, the very life, was taken from that tree. They came back, they saw it, and the thing that they marveled was, one moment it was bearing fruit, and the next moment it was dead. They said, this is amazing. You can do likewise, the Lord says, if you have faith believing. And he goes on and says, you can move that mountain. You can move that mountain. We sing songs, mountain moving faith. Lord, give me mountain moving faith. And then he goes on in verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. That word all sure opens the door, doesn't it? All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, faith believing and not doubting, he says. All things. There's nothing the Lord takes. There isn't anything excluded from the table. God will answer prayer. And that's an amazing wide open promise to you and I tonight. Look over to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is a good chapter just to study by itself. I like verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord tells us that we need something to unapologetically, just boldly, expectantly come to God. just to learn that we have an invitation to do so. You know, sometimes we feel ill at ease. I find that a lot of new Christians find it hard, especially if they just feel like maybe they haven't been so consistent and perfect recently, and then they have a need. Well, I can't ask God. God says, come. He'd say, if you're perfect, come. He said, you got a need, come. Just come boldly to the throne of grace. When I first got married, I married Debbie Hodges Butts. So that meant that now I'm part of the Hodges family. So we would go over to Mom and Papa Hodges' house and walk in. And my wife, she'd grown up in that family. She was an only child. So she just, I mean, she'd go in, she'd walk back in her mom and dad's room, flop down on the bed. She'd go in the cupboard, give some crackers and all. I mean, she's just an only child. Just like she ruled the place. Well, she did. Okay. And she said, I'm still in the living room. She said, come on back. I said, no, that's your mom and dad's room. You know. She said, ah, they want you to be one of the family. Now, you would think I would be able to accept that. I grew up in a family of six. You fought for everything you got, okay? And but in my house, things were a little different. But yet, when we'd go to my house, I would walk right into different things and go and do this. And Debbie would say, okay, I'm coming. It took a period of time to feel comfortable at the Hodges house. Had nothing to do with the Hodges. It had nothing to do with my folks when my wife went up to the Butts house. It had to do with us learning that we were part of the family and feeling like we were part of the family. But as that comfort level came, there came a confident boldness that Mom wouldn't mind if you just opened the refrigerator and got something. We need to learn that God has prepared a table for his own. And he's had a place for us to come. And when we have need, come to that throne of grace and ask confidently, boldly before the Lord. That's not being presumptuous, like you're presuming on God, like something you shouldn't. God has said, it's open. Then come and ask. You have not because you ask not. So come boldly. And as we come on Wednesday nights here, I would encourage you not to be showy or proud or, you know, sort of cocky, but be bold. There's needs. Let's pray for them with confidence that God wants us to come into his presence and find help and mercy. And it's there available, sitting right there for us. So we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. Look over at Luke 18. A lot of these verses all have the same kind of thing. Come in faith, believing. Come in a boldness, a confidence. Luke chapter 18. Look at verse 1. Here's a story, and you know your Bible. I'll just remind you, Luke 18 has to do with the widow. Husband's gone. Somebody's taking advantage of her. It's not right how she's being treated. We aren't told exactly what happened, but it wasn't right. So she went over to the judge and said, I need somebody to make things right. And so Jesus uses this then as an illustration of something. So let's read it. He spake a parable unto them to this purpose or this end. That men, and here's what he's trying to teach, ought always to pray and not to what? Not to faint, not to give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God. He wasn't a godly man. Neither regarded man. He didn't care. Nobody intimidated him. He was a tough guy. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And the judge, he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. So he said, I'm not afraid God's going to judge me, and I'm not going to afraid what people are going to say about me if I don't take this case. Yet, because, and I circled that word because real big in my Bible. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She's bugging the fire out of me. If I don't take this case and get it off the docket, she's going to just keep coming and coming and coming until I do something. The Lord's telling us we're to learn from this. Okay? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, and I circled that in my Bible. He will avenge them quickly, speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So what's the point here that she's trying to, the tenacity of our prayers. Somebody who's tenacious doesn't give up. That little dog that doesn't know he's this big and he's trying to fight something this big, doesn't give up. Here's this widow. She won't give up. The Lord says we are to learn from that. That when we pray, we come to the Lord and we just say, Lord, please, I need you to deal with this thing. And moment after moment, day after day, and prayer time after prayer time, we bring it to the Lord. The Lord is saying, stick with it. I will answer your prayer. He's telling us, don't quit. I will answer. Be tenacious in your prayers. Keep praying. I think one of my favorite stories along that line has to do with Dr. John R. Rice years ago. It's in a book called Praying or Learning to Pray. He talked about a lady that came to him and said, my son's unsaved. He's moved out west and I'm just so concerned for him. I know he's living an ungodly life. And he said, what have you done? She said, well, I've written him letters. I talked to him on the phone, but nothing's happened. He said, well, have you prayed for him? She said, well, I try to mention him in prayer often. He said, you know what? If you get up and just start really talking to the Lord and make a purpose, he said, I challenge you. Get up a half hour earlier than you're used to and just commit that time to just talking to God every day. And I believe God will answer you sooner than you can believe. Within the year, the phone call came. And as soon as she picked up the phone, before she heard her son's voice, God assured her in her heart, that prayer had been answered. And the son answered and said, Mom, are you there? I need to tell you something. She said, I already know. Can I tell you, God answers prayer. And the advice that Dr. John R. Rice gave years ago to that lady lines right up with this passage of Scripture. Be tenacious. Don't give up on it. Take it to the Lord. It is a mountain. It seems like it can't be moved. We know God can. And he says, stick with praying. Men ought to pray and not to quit, to faint. Have you quit praying about some things? Have you just given in? You say, oh, well, that's just the way it's going to be. The Lord tells us to stick with it. And he will answer. He will answer. Truly, a few chapters back to chapter 11 of Luke chapter 11. We find, once again, these are all very similar. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within his house shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. Boy, I can identify with that one. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, and here's a word, is only mentioned once in the Bible. This is the only time this is a word used. Because of his importunity. Now there's a word you don't use every day. Oh yes, because of your importunity, that made me really act quickly. So I decided I just need to really go back and define it, go back in the Greek. And I looked in the Greek, right next to the Greek it says importunity. That didn't help me. So I took the roots out and got a little more looking at it, and it just simply means what it sounds like. It means to persist to the point of annoying somebody. You've made them feel inopportune. It's not the right moment. You're just sort of bugging them. It's to the point of being, what somebody would say, overbearing. You just keep pestering them. Now, who put this story in the Bible? God did. And what did he say was pointed at? Our prayer life. God just said, just keep talking to me. That because this widow and her opportunity, and I'll just read a little further so we get the full gist of it. Yet because of her importunity, I've lost my place here. Verse 8. He will yet rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We often take verse 9. Have you not quoted verse 9 100 times? Did you think what was before it? Now, over in Matthew, it's a little differently quoted. But this is right. They're like this. So he's saying, ask. To the point of importunity. Ask, 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 seek, seek, seek. I know you're in there. That's what I get out of this passage. And God says, well, that's pleading prayer. That's persistent prayer. That's begging prayer. That's crying prayer. That's just, Lord, I need you. It's needful, Lord. It's 2 a.m, Lord. I have a need. Importunity. And you just keep going to the Lord. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So let's just repeat where we are so far. We see it's faith believing. Just trusting God, like a child. Boldly, confidently, because we've been invited. Just come boldly like you own the place. After all, you are a son, child of God. And he's invited you into his presence. Then tenaciously, like this woman, she just kept coming, this widow. She just wasn't going to leave it alone. And then we find, here's another one about this persistence, this importunity, just staying with it in our prayers. Maybe you've been praying about something for a lot of years. I could give you some prayers that I know I've been praying for a long time. I remember hearing an evangelist one time tell a story that of a friend of his, there was an evangelist. This evangelist would preach everywhere he went, and when he'd get done at the end of the week meetings, he would step down in front of the church and he would say, I have a brother who's not saved. If you appreciate the ministry I've had among you this week, I would ask only one thing of you. Would you pray for my brother? Who will raise their hand that they'll pray for my brother? And he did that for years. Years and years and years, his brother wasn't saved. And his wife said it was so consistent, and one day her husband had a heart attack and died. She thought, I'm a little disappointed in God. Until about 6 months later, the letter came and said her brother-in-law had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. We may not always see the answer to prayer. But God is faithful. And God had heard those prayers. Sometimes God lets us see it to encourage us. Amen? And I wonder how many times we don't realize that we've prayed and God has moved, and we maybe didn't even connect it all up, that God was moving in our behalf. It was because of prayer. And to me, it's amazing that this infinite God that's all everything and all knowledge and all wisdom and infinite and all these things still says, I have a part in moving his hand and his plan. Isn't that amazing? That I could affect God's movement on this earth. In my family, in my church, in my job, in my health. These are amazing things. And yet, this is what God's trying to teach us. you've got some prayer requests. I know we always do. Some of them we would bring tonight. We'll say such and such. But some of us have some prayer requests that have got a history to them. We just call them running prayer requests, standing prayer requests. You know, they're just out there. God says, keep praying. Stick with it. He will answer prayer. He will answer prayer. Turn with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Are these not encouraging verses? Look at verse 19. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That if two of you, have you claimed that one a few times? Well, why do churches have prayer meetings? Where you can get 2, 3, 4, 20, 60 people together. It doesn't matter if you have the largest prayer meeting in the world. You break up in twos or threes and you pray and ask God. The Lord says that especially has a promise of answered prayer. Get a prayer partner. Not just prayer meeting. Do you have somebody you pray with? Hey, one of your best prayer partners ought to be your husband or your wife. If you don't have enough saved wife or husband or something like that where you don't, I'm sorry. Well, go get some prayer partner. Teenagers, get a prayer partner. Somebody you pray with. Just that you just get alone with the Lord. I can remember my wife and I first got married and we ran into different things that we had to deal with stuff along. And we would go to the foot of our bed. That was our favorite place to go. We just go right to the edge of the bed, and that was the place that we met God together, right there at the foot of the bed. Do you have a place that you go with your husband or your wife? Do you have somebody to pray with? But the Lord just says, where two or three agree, touching the thing, it might happen. Oh, that's the old English version. Okay. It shall be done unto them. Of my Father which is in heaven. What a promise. I don't think we need to turn to the next one. You know this one, James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's just try it all together. Now I got you reminded. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual means effective. Effectual, fervent, that means fire. That means get stirred up, get focused. Oh, what is the problem with prayer meetings sometimes? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord. We almost get that way sometimes. Pray the same little woo. Get fervent. Fervent has marks. Fervency, sometimes there's sweat like Jesus did as it were great drops of blood. That's fervent prayer. Fervency maybe has some tears to it. Fervency maybe raises the voice up. Fervency gets broken. It has marks. When there's fervency, it just breaks out, you know. You just, Lord, you gotta do something. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. We come to the Lord right with him. I think when we come to God, we always, just like you come to the table to eat, make sure your hands are clean. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, and that last word, much. You can really do a lot of work on your knees. I've had people before that have become temporarily bodily infirmed. They can't come to church because they can't sit. They can't go out door to door. They can't come and clean the church. They can't teach a Sunday school class. They can't. And often, in those kind of situations, persons say, I have no purpose. I have no ability to do this. That's not true. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes I have people say, I want to help a neighborhood Bible time. But honestly, Pastor, I cannot be here. I am going to have to be in California on a business trip. I feel so bad. There is nothing I can do about it. I can't be where I want to be. So I just can't help in Bible time. That's not true. Why? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I can never go to the mission field. What can I? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. I can't do the bus ministry. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. I can't preach. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You get my point? You can have a ministry in prayer. There was a man when I was in Bible college who was a paraplegic. I never heard that term before. But he was truly a total paraplegic. He couldn't control his arms. He couldn't control his feet. When he came to the university, this large campus, they arranged for him to have a golf cart to meet him at different places, and different students helped him to go into class and carry his books. It was really sort of neat. But he, one day after chapel, he got really burdened to help the soul winning ministry on Saturday, and he came afterwards and he talked to the guy who was the head of the preacher boys class, 1,000 boys in that class. And he said, I would just like to be a part, but his language wasn't where he could talk too well and all kinds of stuff. And he said, what can I do? He said, we could pray. So every week he would come to the preacher boys class. They would roll him up in front of the class, and the guys would give him papers. We're going to be up in Gastonia. We're going to be over here and here. We're going to be in a jail ministry. We're going to be here, 2:00, 3:00 service. And he would spend entire day Saturday on extension, on his knees. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't quit being involved in God's work because it seems difficult or because you're difficult in your situations. Be plugged in through prayer. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be given unto you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will. I put together that with James chapter 4, where it talks about that we are warned not to pray to consume it upon our own lust. Prayer is not a piggy bank. The charismatics sort of view it that way. They like this prayer of Jabez. Maybe you've heard of the term, I have to look it up in the Old Testament. You do a certain things like that and you got God in a stronghold. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about. I've got God by the polyp. I've got God by the wallet. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Our God says he's just there for us in our needs. Come boldly. Learn to talk to him. Be a part of his family. He cares for you. He wants to enter into things. And why is all this possible? Because of what Jesus did. Am I right? And so what is the traditional way for Christians to close their prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. I've said this before. Once again, it's just a personal, strong feeling of mine. People that just close prayer and never say in Jesus' name, it seems, now that's presumptuous. We have no right without Jesus. We go in his name. And sometimes I think we just get used to saying in his name, in that name. It's like saying to somebody, hey, you. I like to close my prayers in the precious, wonderful, holy name of my blessed Savior. And I always change it up. It's not a memorized formula. I like to acknowledge why I'm there. And I'm there because of that name and what he's done for me. Now tonight, I want to end our time, and it may take longer. I hope it takes a little bit longer, the time. It may not. I may catch you off guard. But I want us to end our time before we go to prayer here in a moment with you telling someone just absolute answers to prayer that only God could have done. In this congregation, surely we've seen God do some things that are just pretty cool. I wrote down, I Lord just laid this on my heart about an hour ago, and I thought, I'll start writing. It wasn't hard to get some things written down. So I'll prime the pump while you're thinking, okay? When I was a camper, went off to like Southland, always called Bethany Baptist Camp up in New York. And we were on the grounds there and walking after the camp service, and people get the refreshments. And this girl, she said, oh no, I've lost my contact. Oh, I just bought those. And back then, she said, it cost me $200. That'd be like $1,000 contact. I mean, it's just gone out of sight. She goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't see all week. I can't. What am I going to do? And I can remember whoever it was, one of the lead people said, you know, let's just stop and pray. Ask God. She said, it's got to be on. He said, let's pray. They all joined hands. They said, dear Heavenly Father, please. And then said, amen. And all of a sudden, somebody on the other side of the athletic field said, has anybody lost a contact? And they peeled it off from their cheek. And they brought it over and handed it to her. And that was the first time I saw a direct answer to prayer that was, you couldn't even calculate the odds of that. I was just like 13 years old. I said, wow. Well, that was a nice accident. Isn't that amazing how when we're in need, it couldn't be done, but when it happens, they say, well, things happen. That wasn't the right way it works. Years and years ago, there was a man in our church that we were ministering to who was an alcoholic. He busted up his family, did a lot of bad things. But he was in the hospital, had a heart attack, he had just gotten out, and I knew he'd gotten home, so I went to visit him, got home that afternoon. I saw the guy out beside his house with a shirt wrapped around his waist. He's, you know, naked down to here. And he's digging underneath the foundation of his slab house because there's a leak in the foundation. And down here, they often put the pipes right in the cement. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Our water's leaking. I don't know any plumbers. And I thought, well, we used to have a plumber in our church when he moved. And I tried to dig with him. I was dressed up in my suit. It was Wednesday afternoon. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, Don. And he said, I don't know. Either water's flowing down into the street. And he just went in and cut it off. And I said, Don, why don't we just come to prayer meeting tonight? We'll just commit this to the Lord. You just come do right. And the Lord will show us a plumber or somebody that'll do it for a price that you could afford. And so he did. My shock, he really did show up. But we prayed together and said, God, provide, take care of this thing. So he went in the house, and that night he came to prayer meeting. And the next day he called me at noon. He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. I turned the water back on. It doesn't leak anymore. It never leaked again. I'm not talking about a little leak. It was a stream going down the side of the house. I said, oh my. God answers prayer. Your turn. Well, if you keep them reasonably. mountains. Answer to prayer, direct answer to prayer. You can only attribute to God. Amen. Somebody else. Answer to prayer. Cheryl. a lot of prayer answers have been towards salvation, haven't they? That's probably the most important thing in life is life, eternal life. Let's take a few more, please. He took his money away. Amen. Debbie, you're an answer to prayer. Now you got to tell, you can't just stop that way. He prayed a good prayer. Anybody else? Yes. Aren't these encouraging? We'd just get warmed up, I think, if we were to really spend our time to talk in prayer. A lot of things.